On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we bring in BD Williams from the Tape Don't Lie podcast. He's absolutely fantastic. Talked about the defense of the Raiders and obviously the matchup with the Broncos coming up. We ask which Raider this season has been the biggest disappointment. We talk about Jonathan Abram being out for the season, the good, the bad, and the ugly of the game against the Browns. And we do, obviously, what up, Windbags. And we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into the nightmares.
The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown!
Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. These intros just feel better. We're coming off a win. You know what I mean? Just coming in, bright-eyed.
Roll off the lips.
You know, it's like heading into work the morning after you got laid the night before. You know, you're just like feeling good, right?
Didn't shower, still got the stink on you.
Yeah, a little pep in your step, you know? A little extra confident, you start hitting on like the secretary a little bit harder, you know. You're like, I got this. I got the next for days.
You go up to your work BFF, be like, yeah, bro. Hey, check this out.
I knew
you've done it. I know you fucking done it.
I knew you were lefty. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe to this channel, to this episode. We always do a what up Windbags. We use a lot of comments on this show. Please subscribe. It's the best way to find out all the cool stuff that we're doing. Yeah. Question of the day. This will be the question that will be in the top of our comment section. We'll pin it. We want to hear from you guys exactly who you think is the answer to this question. Which Raider this season has disappointed you the most? Now, it's been a weird season, right? Because there's been, I think at times we forget that, like, hey, we're 7-7. When I think the expectations this season were like, maybe we'll be like 500 or a little bit above, right? And we're still kind of there, but it's just been like this. It's been like, oh, we're 3-0 against three playoff teams. Oh, we lost to half the NFC East. Like, oh, like, you know, everything went crazy, right? So it's like, but pinpointing it on a specific player. What do you think, Soto? Which Raider has disappointed you the most this season?
I mean, there's the obvious, which is Henry Ruggs, and it's for off the field stuff. He was a huge disappointment, just because not only did his poor choices take the life of a young lady and a dog, changed the lives of so many others, but we're not getting them back. So that's a pretty big disappointment on the field.
Ironically, he was impressive on the field.
He was doing well.
Like, he had improved on the field and then just obviously made the worst decision of his life off the field.
On the field.
I'll go first. Alex Leatherwood. No doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
No question, Alex Leatherwood. Look, I mean, and I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, rookie, right? Like, look no further than Colton Miller, right? His rookie year, he was terrible. He was a turnstile on that left side. He was battling injuries. He was a rookie. He was just learning the system. And now he's like the only thing we can truly count on our O-line week in and week out. Right. So like, not that there isn't hope for him in the future, but just being that bad, switching his position and like the problems that that's caused as well. Cause now we have to have Brandon Parker out there, who's maybe even worse than him, but at least we knew that. I mean, there was optimism around Alex Leatherwood. I think none of us were overly jacked on the idea, like, all right, this is a can't miss, right? Oh, I'm so glad they made this pick. I'm glad they drafted the position, but the player has just not been capable at all.
The only reason why I don't want to put Leatherwood in there is because I didn't want him from the beginning.
Okay.
I thought it was a bad pick. And that's why, I mean, disappointment, I'm thinking somebody that I had high hopes for, almost like a Darren Waller. He's had a couple of games, but other than that, hasn't been all that good. I expected a lot more from Foster Moreau this year than we've gotten.
Yep.
Those are two that aren't playing poorly, but I did expect a lot more from. As far as, I mean, fuck, man, Andre James, dude, like he's getting better, but for a long time he was not very good at all as our center, and I had a lot higher hopes for him, specifically because Tom Cable gave him the seal of approval, and he's a really good offensive line coach. And he goes out there, and he's playing better, but in the first 2/3 of the year, he was not good.
Yeah, like I said, he's trending better, and it's his first season as a starter, so I give you a little bit more leash. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. he was undrafted free agent, I believe, right out of UCLA, just undrafted guy, and it's like, hey, he turned himself into a multimillionaire and a starter, and he's improving, right?
Yeah, we give him all that money, but he's like, he wasn't good. Like, why are you giving that money for if he wasn't, you know, why if he hasn't proven himself yet?
How about our whole tight end room as a whole? Like, Darren Waller hurt, not performing. Foster Moreau not performing. Daniel Helm getting injured, right? It's like the whole tight end room. That was supposed to be that was position group on our team, tight end room. It was supposed to be our best. Derek Carrier, like, out for the season. Like, that was supposed to be the best position room on our team.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the things that we were really looking forward to is the two tight end sets and
three tight end sets.
And if we have three tight ends, it's not necessarily a jumbo package because they're two dynamic pass catchers, and hasn't panned out that way.
Yeah. So we're asking you, which Raider disappointed you the most this season? Leave your comments down in the comment section. Another piece of bad news. I did a video on this earlier today, but Jonathan Abram out for the season. Shoulder surgery on Thursday, the 23rd. Merry Christmas to him. He's going to spend it on pain pills and with a cast on. That sucks. He hadn't missed a snap all season long.
Yeah.
And, of course, this is a repeat same injury. Or not only the same injury, but it's the same shoulder, that he injured in his rookie year. He only played one game, missed the next 15. And now, again, he's going to be on IR for the rest of the season here. So, a couple things. We'll start off with just huge loss, specifically in the box. He had the second most tackles on the team, second most solo tackles on the team, third most tackles for a loss on the team, fourth most passes defended on the team, and tied for most interceptions on the team. He was tied with one because no one's had more than one. That's a problem for another day. But you can see, like, his presence is going to be really missed. Someone's gonna have to pick up that slack, especially with Denzel Perryman playing hobbled.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough. You know, run stopping is gonna be difficult. We'll get into that a little bit later, but he was a key to our run stopping efforts. Not only did he make a lot of plays behind the line of scrimmage, he also redirected a lot of running backs. Chubb rarely had a clean path to the line of scrimmage. He had to jump cut, shift, move back and forth. And, you know, just because we were messing around with his lane from the very beginning, he was able to get some yards here and there, but
he was a soft Chubb.
Yeah, it was a soft Chubb.
Yeah. Boom, boom. Hey. So it looks like most likely Roderick Teamer will replace him on most of the snaps, because that's who replaced him on Monday against the Browns. Probably the guy that's going to be it. We'll see. It's been crazy how resilient our DBs have been depth-wise. Like, we just keep losing guys all the time, and we seem to just kind of always still not taper off terribly, you know? It's always just kind of been, all right, we found a way to do it. The other big part of this is just money-wise. He's got a contract year coming up next season, and if he's had two of his three seasons season-ending shoulder surgery...
The same shoulder...
This year, when he was finally starting to look up, it's like, hey, he's getting his act together. He's getting all these tackles. He's not, you know, can't cover the best, like, tight ends and receivers out there, but at least he's, like, getting in position, which is an improvement. Like, he's heading the right direction. And then, bam, this again. Tough luck. That sucks.
That's one of the things that is one of the biggest when it comes to contract negotiations. Can you be relied on to play? If you're a great player, awesome. Yeah. But if you can't be on the field, that's a big detriment. And you may still get contracts, but they're not going to be near the contracts you could get if you were healthy.
Yeah,
it's not you get healthier as you get older.
You know? Have to be like top three at your position, and people be like, okay, it's worth rolling the dice. You know, like, maybe you'll get hurt, but when you're on the field, goddamn, you're so good. And he's not that good. He's getting better, but he's definitely not that good. No. He played really well against the Browns until he got hurt. So that means it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. The Raiders headed into Cleveland and in a thrilling come from behind last second field goal, the Raiders got a win to get back to 7-7, 500. Raiders 16, Browns 14. Soto, what do you got?
All right, here we go. The good, the bad, and the RJ. And we're going to start with the good like we always do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, number one on the good, Derek Carr's final drive. A minute and 50 seconds left. Started on your own 29-yard line. He went 4-for-6 for 51 yards and set up the game-winning field goal. Excellent job, Mr. Carr, on the final drive.
His opening drive, I think he went 8-for-8, scored a touchdown. That beautiful shot to who did get that?
Edwards.
To Bryan Edwards. And then his very, very last drive of the game, drove it in just seconds to get to field goal range for the win. It's kind of everything in the middle, you know, bookended it beautifully. Let's just those other like 8 or 9 drives in the middle. We just improve those and we're set. No big deal, right?
Yeah, and I was like, come on, man. That interception was god-awful in the fourth quarter. What are you doing?
The more I've watched that and the more I've seen it discussed, I think a lot of that, I like more of the blame than I initially put on Carr. I think some of it goes to Zay Jones for because he was open, and if he ran the route, like more corner route than he did, he should have. It would have been perfect, right? And that's one of those routes, like, and specifically Derek Carr, specifically to a guy he practices within the offseason all the time. He's just throwing it to a spot. Like he can throw that ball with his eyes closed. Cause he's like, all right, that's just where we're going. And he kind of flattened that route out more than he should have. I don't know. But luckily the defense came up.
It's not the throw to make. You don't make that throw to Zay Jones. Sorry. All right, moving along. Peyton Barber, 5 carries for 34 yards, a 6.8 average. Not a lot of touches, not a lot of yards, but they were in big spots. They were in spots where we needed to move the ball down the field, needed to eat up some time in the second half, and Peyton Barber really did help us out on that. So good job, Peyton Barber.
Yeah, just looked explosive when we needed like a spark, you know? It's weird how a backup running back did that for us, a little bit of a spark in the run game.
Well, let's talk about the other running back. Mm-hmm. Although his rushing yards weren't impressive, he had 18 touches for 94 yards. So 5.2 average if you average out all his touches. Not terrible. You know, he's going to catch the ball more with Drake out, with Rashard, you know, maybe not being as relied on as much anymore. So, you know, I'll take it. 18 touches for 94 yards. Not terrible. Anything to say?
I mean, he was forced to be a part of the passing game. He's been inconsistent in the passing game. So if you can put together a complete part of the passing game, that's huge. If he can do it consistently,
I don't remember any drops from him in this game.
Not today. Oh, yeah.
The Cowboys drops.
Not Monday.
Jonathan Abram, the aforementioned Jonathan Abram, 9 tackles, 6 solo, 2 tackles for loss. Great last game of the season for him. He went out in the middle of the fourth quarter and did not look good. When I saw it right away, the way his arm was hanging, the way he was holding his shoulder, his arm up.
Yeah. It looked like he was holding his hand, but he was just kind of using that thing to hold the whole shoulder.
He was holding the whole shoulder.
He was holding the wrist, but it was holding like the whole.
Yeah, because that arm, that he was like tilted this way, and he was holding his arm. I was like, oh, you can tell right away it was a shoulder.
Yeah.
Faison,
no stranger for him for the next few months. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Faison had 3 passes defensed. A big one. He got beat. By Peoples Jones, and he was able to punch the ball out after he already caught it.
Yeah,
it looked like a huge play.
The very early first quarter, it looked like it was just a clean drop, just because he got beat bad with the double move. He bit on the post, and when
he had no clue where the ball was, he just saw that he caught it and he punched it out
and just recovered. Like, hey, if you're gonna get beat, knock the ball out.
And he did. Punch.
Yeah. And it was clean, dude. It was like right, just boom, like in those MMA. Like uppercuts when guys are on their all fours and they come under the armpit and just like get him right into the chin. Like how Dan Henderson knocked out Fedor.
Fedor, yeah.
That was perfect. He was just like, boop, just a short little uppercut. Boop.
Those are those Igor Vovchanchkin uppercuts from Pride. He's like, I'm going to ride you a little bit.
Russian hooks. And just like all shoulder and whipping.
Yep. Our rush defense held Cleveland to 24 carries, 89 yards. They got a touchdown, but 24 carries for 89 yards against one of the better rushing teams in the league. That's big, and we're going to need that again.
When we're committed as a defense to stopping the run, we improve a lot when we're going up against like a third string quarterback. But you could tell they're just not used to it. They got tired towards the end. Like our defense got tired, and we had more time of possession. Like I've seen our defense get tired when we're just getting run on and run on and run on, and our offense goes three and out. Like any defense will, when you have, you know, 325 pound men like sprinting, you know, all over the course of 3 hours, they're going to get tired. But not when we had time of possession, not when we were like, our offense was generally, even not putting up a lot of points, but generally moving. And still, like, they just got tired at the end. They're like, they're just not used to like being good at stopping the run.
They're just not used to getting pounded on like that. And even though they were missing a couple of guys, that's a really good offensive line. I think both of their guards made it to the Pro Bowl. So that's a good offensive line.
Guard, there. Center, guard, best trio in football.
They're beasts.
I can't think of a better one.
Daniel Carlson, again, freaking sweet leg, third leg, 3 for 3 field goals and 1 for 1 extra point. Also, he hit the game winner twice. So double good for you, Daniel Carlson.
Is there anything sweeter than us icing their kicker? They made the first one. Don't make the second one. They try to ice us, and we make both. The only thing that would have made it better is if Carlson missed the first one and then made the second one.
That is so sweet.
It's better. It's obviously better that our kicker like could make those kicks all the time than having him see miss one. But just for the, just for like the pride of you and me, just for the pride for all the Autumn Windbags out there. Just like, yeah, you tried to ice us.
Suck on
and
that.
And it cost you. Yeah.
That was like the Sebastian Janikowski against the Jets when he hit that like 59 or 60 yard field goal. Mm-hmm. He missed the first one, but they called timeout, and then he got a second chance and he drilled it.
I swear that happens more than icing the kicker works. Maybe I just like, I know it. I remember it harder because it's so hilarious and it's like such a dig on the coach, but I don't know. I wonder if there's a stat on that.
I remember watching, and I think it was a Shannon Sharp. He said, dude, the kickers don't mind getting ice. Like they get another shot at it. Like they get a practice kick.
Yeah.
You know, like they're good. They feel the turf a little bit.
Yeah. See like they're the wind fine. Does. Yeah, instead of like kicking into that net on the sideline all day long.
Yeah, they actually get the real rep, kick. You know? And it's the actual yardage and everything. Like, no, they don't mind. Like, it's
like imagine being able to like take 4 putts at a single hole, right? Like you do the first one. Oh, it's
or even goal. 2. You take an actual full on, you know, and then you can take another one. Like it's. Yep.
I added one here just because you've been so hard on him, but rightfully so. Alex Leatherwood allowed 0 pressures and didn't have a single penalty. Props. He still wasn't amazing in the run game, but for as bad as he's been playing and it has how hard we've been on him, when he had an above average game, that a baby Alex. Hopefully,
yeah, you know,
this is signs of improvement and not just a fluke.
I really like the because here's something that happens quite a bit when the guard, it's mostly the guards, when the guard redirects the defensive tackle and he kind of pushes them out to create a pocket. For a lane for the quarterback to step up. A lot of times what he does, he pushes that tackle into his own tackle, which either knocks him over or kind of interrupts his ability to block.
Yeah.
He didn't do that. They both kind of ushered him off to the side without running into one another, which it does happen. But, yeah, I really liked that technique. It's something that I hadn't seen him do a lot in the past. But that nice wide open lane for Carr to step into and throw was really nice, especially that first drive. Mm-hmm. All right, that's enough for the good. We're going to the bad. You ready?
Hit me.
Colton Miller's holding penalty nullified a 17-yard pass on the final drive to get us to the 30-yard line. I thought that was the game right there.
Me too.
I was like, you mother.
Like you're supposed. I think I text you. You're supposed to be the good one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. It's like when you have kids and they're all deadbeats and one of them goes to college and he's the one that like calls you for bail like 2 a.m. You're like, he's the good one. What the hell?
Yeah, you're the one I'm supposed to tell my friends about.
That was a pretty ticky-tacky penalty though, too. Yeah. I will say it was kind of.
if you want to talk about here's my new answer for most disappointing player, Corey Littleton.
Littleton.
one tackle, one pass defense. Jesus, you're dying over there. You know there's a mute button?
Not on my thing. No, not on mine.
Sure there is.
No.
I'm gonna do this.
That worked, right?
There you go. Sure did. So I have a switch. He was given a pass defense, but his pass defense was when the tight end Njoku, when he stepped out of bounds.
Yeah, in fact,
that's not a pass defense. Sorry.
I mean, no. It was. Like, I know we shit on Corey Lewis.
He didn't touch the player or the ball at all.
If he was not there, then Ngakoue would have been able to keep his feet in bounds. But because like he was in position, he just didn't turn around. Remember? Like he put his hand up in his face, just facing him back to the ball. It should count. The one decent play he's had all year, let's at least let him have that, as bad as he's been.
No, sorry. No,
you're not going to give it to him?
No, I'm not going to give it to him. Whatever, fuck him. Play better. All right. We talked about this in the postgame. If this doesn't encapsulate how bad of a season Brandon Parker's had, you're asking if he's gotten worse, and I don't think he's gotten worse. I think he's just been exposed for how limited he actually is as an offensive tackle. Brandon Parker got called for holding on the goal line, and the guy he was holding still made the tackle. Mm-hmm. And I talked about it before. When you have a guy on your outside shade, and he ends up crossing your face, and making the tackle, and you held him, that's like the triple threat right there. That's like the three-part pass straight to the bench.
Would you keep him as a third-string tackle?
No.
I know he's arguably the worst starting tackle in football. Would you keep him as a third-string just because like, he knows the system?
Nope.
No? Not even third-string?
Nope. I wouldn't keep him at all.
You think you can find a better guy than him to be our third-string tackle?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. I could find a guy in the draft next year to be better than him. He's that bad.
He's pretty bad.
He's pretty bad. Yeah, and I think this is last year, right?
God, I hope so.
I think this is last year. Yeah, so we can't re-sign this guy. There's no way. If we bring him back, whoever signs him back, I'm gonna call in a hit on that guy because this is not no. You can't win with a guy like that. I mean, You see what happens to Carr when he's running around like, he's almost got like PTSD and because he can't trust him and the penalty is it's everything, man.
Right. Let's get the ugly done fast because it's the worst one you want to get it over with.
Fine. Get the RJ. Here we go. The NFL handling of COVID positive tests. The Browns ended up getting three defensive starters back and the Raiders lost probably their best DB in Hobbs. And now they have to play the Broncos on a short week. It's basically everything that we didn't want to have happen. They got healthier. We got more unhealthy. And it's
with how well the Raiders have handled COVID this season, like beautifully. Like we just got our fourth in phase. Like we had two for the bulk of the season, and then we've gotten two more in the last few days. And it's like, oh, all for naught. No, we're still. The NFL's like, no, we're still gonna fuck you. Keep handling it well. Keep the positive tests down. Keep masking up. Keep doing the protocols. But we're still gonna fuck you. We're still gonna make it cost.
Oh, yeah. Somebody.
Thanks, Roger.
Somebody on the Browns emails. Coughed in Faison's face. Yeah. All right. The last ugly is our ball security. We had five fumbles. Did you know that? We had five fumbles. We recovered four of them. We had five fumbles and an interception.
The ones that shocked me were Renfro's
fumble punts. Muffed punts.
Luckily, he jumped on both of them.
Edwards had a fumble when he was trying to stretch out for extra yards, and Renfro ended up jumping on that.
What's the record for most recovered fumbles in a game? Because Renfro had three.
Yeah, that's a lot.
He had a trifecta.
Two of them were his, so you can't really give him that much credit.
Who was it in the NBA that gave himself his own rebound just to pad his stats? Like he went up, like he had like a breakaway and just like put one up on the backboard and then dunked it.
That's it was for the Orlando Magic. It was for the Orlando Magic.
I forgot his name. Hunter Renfro just pumping up his own stats. You know what I'm saying? He got so pumped. He just wants defensive stats. You know what I mean? Because he got that great tackle on that fake punt that he stopped. And now he's like, you know what? I'm going to get myself some D stats. You know, it's too easy being a slot receiver. I want to get stats on all three. He's already getting stats as a returner. He's getting stats as a receiver. He's getting special teams. He's like, all right, let me get some tackles. Let me get some fumble recoveries.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good.
Hummer is like that friend of yours that likes a band until they sign with a big label and he doesn't like him anymore. Like, I just want the obscure stats. I don't want the real stats. Yeah.
He was, we liked Hunter before he was cool.
You know, Hummer.
So that's the good, the bad, and the ugly from the Raiders win over the Browns, 16-14. Short week. We got the Broncos coming up. Teddy Bridgewater, less Broncos, to help break that down and give us a better look at the Raiders on defense. Who does he think is the most disappointing guy for the Raiders this season? And all the genius stuff that comes out of his mouth. BD Williams, up next. All right, joining us now, you can catch him on the Tape Don't Lie podcast and YouTube page. Some of the best tape guys in all of Raider creatordom. BD Williams, BD the big deal, Williams. We were trying to guess what BD stood for. I went big deal. Soda went a little bit more raunchy with it. So we were wondering where it went.
It's actually funny. I started, when I was doing content creation around Raiders, I started writing at Silver and Black Pride, maybe I think it was like 4 years ago. And then when I went to go put in my name, it was already taken. And so I just used my first and second initials, my first initial, my middle name initial. And so it's been just BD Williams ever since. So that's how Raider Nation knows me. I'm fine with that.
It's a little bit of a life hack because, like, so my full name is Randall John Clifford II. So my parents just called me RJ, so to not confuse it with my dad. So that's the only name I've known my whole life. Like, if you said, hey, Randall, I wouldn't even turn around, right? People remember you if you have initials as your nickname more, which is, so it's a nice little life hack. It's a blessing and a curse because I'm terrible with names and everyone remembers my name because it's just two letters, RJ. Like, oh, hey, RJ, what's going on? I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, man. Right. What's going on? Nice to see you again, dude. Like, damn it. Could you forget my name too?
Yeah, we got like two. I have like almost 200 members at my gym, at the fight gym where I coach and where I manage. And it's like, there's no way. I can't keep them all straight.
You got to nickname all of them.
Well, what's up, dude? Right.
Yeah. Only way.
What's up, G? Like, I always like to say, like, just like treat guys, but I have to greet everybody like that, even if I know your name.
The best, though, is when you have like a years long relationship with someone and you guys are mad cool, but you don't know each other's names.
Yeah,
that's the best.
Like someone you work with. They're like in a different department, but you see them twice a day. You know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I have to take your number down. You're like, oh, okay, shit, what's up? And you're just like, you know, guy from third floor. Like, fuck, gotta remember.
I just have the members check in. I'm like, hey, check in for me real quick. All right, cool. And they type their name, and I'm like, all right, sweet.
My wife knows whenever we go to like a work event, she knows to say, oh, hi, I'm Vicky. So they have to introduce themselves instead of waiting for me because she knows I'm not gonna remember their names. So she just knows, like, she's been trained with enough reps. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's been on that jugs machine enough times where she knows
drillers make killers.
I gotta introduce it because I'm gonna embarrass old RJ over here with his numb nuts brain. Got hit in the head too much in his fighting years. All right, Raiders 7-7. We got here weird, right? I think, like, there's been so much disappointment this season for the Raiders because it started off so hot, right? 3-0, and Carr's got the second most passing yards in football, and, you know, all these good things. But then, you know, I have to go through the laundry list of things that they've been hit with. I mean, where do you, like, how are you on the Raiders season right now, like December 22nd, 2021, at 7-7?
I'm honestly surprised that they're 7-7, to be honest with you. You know, the Dallas one, they pulled that one out.
Yeah.
At the very end there. You know, I think that it's pretty impressive that they don't have, like, technically a losing record, right, at this point in the season, but we'll see how they end up finishing. But yeah, it's been tumultuous. It's been a lot. I think it's been clear, you know, Rich Bisaccia maybe in over his head as far as being a head coach. The offensive coordinator, defensive coordinators are just kind of in a groove and a very predictable grooves, each of them. And so the play calling on both sides of the football has been, you know, stagnant. It's been stale. So honestly surprising that they're 7-7 at this point. I still wouldn't, like, you know, if they barely beat a Nick Mullins led Cleveland team, I wouldn't, like, I know that there are some fans for that, hey, we're mathematically still in it, like anything could happen, But like, you realize the seventh seed is going to play the Patriots, or they're going to play the Chiefs. Like, that's an automatic out, right? So I mean, I just don't understand why people are like, you know, maybe wanting to see the Raiders make the playoffs when it could mean like literally like 10 draft spots. So I don't know what's more important, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think there's logic to both sides. I mean, the experience of taking a young team to the playoffs, and you know what's that experience like, right? I think there is value to that. Is it 10 spots of a draft value? Is it worth that much? I don't know.
It depends. You know? If the plan, Mark Davis is going to be, you know, holding the keys to this. If he's like, hey, I really want Derek Carr to be a part of Las Vegas Raiders going forward, then yeah, Derek Carr needs playoff experience, right? Like, he's never played in a playoff game, right? But if, you know, the idea is just to blow everything up and, you know, bring someone in and just them decide if they want to keep Derek Carr or not, you know, Mark Davis and, you know, it seems like getting better draft capital when this season has gone so terribly wrong for the Raiders makes more sense at this point.
Yeah, that's kind of why, like, Soto and I have been debating this for a while. It's like, what does a blow up of this roster really look like? Because like, when I think blowing up a roster, that's because you always want to improve, right? You want to get rid of the shitty players and get good ones. You want to get rid of the expensive bad players and get cheap new ones. Like, everyone wants to, the guy who wins, the team who wins the Super Bowl wants to do that, right? When I think blow up, I think get rid of like the good players that are a little older now and replace them with, you know, younger guys, try to get draft picks and, you know, just kind of refresh, right? Reload. We don't have any older players that we want to keep. Like, all of our decent players are all like on rookie contracts or just signed their first contract.
One year deals.
Like, all of our, the only guys that are expensive and older are guys we want to get rid of anyway. Like Corey Littleton, Nick Witkowski. Like, we don't want to keep these guys. There's literally only one guy on the whole roster, 30 and above, that we'd want to keep. And that's Derek Carr. Obvious, you know, giant what if, right? Because changing quarterback is blowing up a roster, but like,
and that's what I meant. Like, yeah, it doesn't have to mean blowing up the roster as far as getting rid of everybody. It's just when you change your quarterback, you change the direction that you're headed. And that's how I felt about blowing up the roster. If you were to do that, I mean, no one's going to take Littleton's $15 million contract next year, which is that's what he's owed because he restructured this year and he's. I mean, a rookie beat him out, basically. A rookie's making him look terrible.
Yeah.
He had one tackle last game, and they gave him a pass defense when Njoku stepped out of bounds. Technically, it's a pass defense. That's all he had. And so it is Derek Carr. It starts and ends with Derek Carr. And again, it's the philosophy of whoever's there. If Mark Davis is smart and hires a team president to kind of be a little bit more of a calming influence and more of a steadying influence on the franchise, or he wants to give the head coach a bunch of power again, who knows? But it's going to be that their decision to make going forward. But I still think if you move on from Derek Carr, even if he is the only player that you change from, you know, there's always going to be some turnover. But if he's the biggest starter or player on this team now that you change, that still is a blow up because it's your starting quarterback for 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, right. You blowing up the roster means the quarterback changes. You know, it might just be the quarterback, but it's still right. Like you're saying, like Juan's saying, if your quarterback changes, everything changes within, you know, your team and the direction of your team, right? But I don't know. Obviously, we're prognosticating. We're getting, you know, far ahead of ourselves. We'll see what the Raiders decide to do as far as next year if Derek Carr is the quarterback. That is a topic that Raider Nation loves to debate. I remember at some point in the springtime, opening up Twitter and seeing Derek Carr trending. I'm like, how? Why? How is this? You know, people love to talk about Derek Carr. It's, you know, so at some point, people, you know, just relax a little bit.
He's the most polarizing guy in football, right? It's so weird. He's like the biggest family man. Like, he might be a preacher when he retires, and yet he's like the most polarizing guy in all of the NFL. It's wild. Coaching staff-wise, I think clearly the coaching staff's going to get blown up. How big of a blow up do you think that is? Who of the coordinators and who of the primary position players would you like to see kept around? Because obviously, you know, a new head coach can just completely clean house. A new team president or GM can completely clean house. But without knowing who the head coach may be, I'm going to assume it's going to be a new one. Is there anyone you're like, you know what? I wish they keep, you know, A, B, and C.
Yeah. Usually that comes down to coordinators, honestly. Like, if a coordinator sticks around, they'll keep guys on his staff. But if that coordinator goes, I think it's relatively rare to see like too many position coaches stick around, especially in the case of like Gus Bradley with like Ron Miles is his guy. You know, like that's his guy. Like that's a package deal almost, right? Wherever Gus Bradley goes, Ron Miles probably will end up going, right? And I really like the work that Ron Miles has done so far this year. At the same time, though, I personally am in the camp that I just want to see a completely different coaching staff next year. I think, like I talked about in the beginning, I think the play calling is very stale. Mm-hmm. I think it's very predictable. I think the Raiders easily, so far through my charting, run the simplest defense in across the entire NFL. You know, like it's like 90, some games are like 91% of the play calls are just like the same cover three call. You know, it's like they're not, Gus Bradley does not call defense. He just preaches like assignment football, right? And so there's not a lot of creativity there. I think that there are coaches that do as good of a job as Gus Bradley does with the finer details of the game while also having a much more complex and modern NFL scheme. So that's, you know, my vote would definitely be to hire some young blood, like a fresh new, you know, coaching staff. But we have seen Gus Bradley, okay, he got hired as the Seahawks defensive coordinator when Jim Mora was the head coach. And when Jim Mora was fired, Pete Carroll kept him, yeah, which is very, very rare. So Gus Bradley has survived that before, so we'll see.
Well, also, yeah, Pete Carroll was a defensive coach himself. So it's, you know, their scheme is similar in a way to what he ran at SC. So, I mean, I can see that kind of being a good fit for him, especially when, you know, you've been out of the NFL for several years and you have a guy who's run a similar system that you'd, yes, used to run. And, you know, he's already on the staff. He knows the players.
Yeah. This defense is a weird thing to get my head around because it's been like atrocious for 20 years. Like, all, like, it's been a bottom three defense three of the last four seasons, right? Like, the best defense Derek Carr's ever had was 20th, right? It's been awful, like historically bad. And so, like, that's why I'm still kind of on the fence with Gus Bradley and what he's doing this season, because it's still not a good defense.
They're still bottom four. What do you want?
It's still not, it's, I mean, by some metrics, right? Like, it's not doing good by any
means. Points per game. I mean, what do you want
to do? But, like, think of, like, how many, like, guys have, like, revitalized their career in this system. How many guys have been, like, playing well in this system. Like, you know, we got, you know, two Pro Bowlers out of it. Like, it's kind of this weird, like, you can't turn a steam engine. Like, you can't have it do a U-turn right away, right? So, it's like, if we're expecting this Raiders defense to be good or even average like that, like, in a season with one new coach, I think that's expecting way too much with how long this defense has been terrible. Like, where are you on that, BD?
Yeah, no, I think that Gus Bradley, like, the things that he's focused on, okay, he, you know, he focuses on guys being able to play fast, like maintaining zone integrity, getting to your landmark, breaking on the football, making open field tackles. The things that he preaches, like, the defense does, okay? But at the same time, his whole thing is making it as simple as possible because he doesn't want, like, a bunch of mental processing out there. He just wants guys sprinting to the football, okay? Mm-hmm. And I just think when you've seen, like, you saw what Patrick Mahomes was able to do to the defense, okay? The book is out. It's very it's known how to beat this scheme, and it just mm-hmm. comes to who's going to out-execute who. Whereas if you have a scheme where you're mixing things up and you're maybe you have three deep safeties, maybe you're showing too high, maybe you're spinning, you're doing all this different disguising and changing things post snap. Okay. When the bullets are flying and the quarterback has to figure it out, you can now maybe get some interceptions. You can win against teams that might be more talented than you because you're doing these looks. Whereas the Raiders right now, they're not going to beat anyone more talented than them because it just comes down to an execution game. They're literally running the same cover three. Like, it's like 75% of the time throughout the season. So there's no guessing game going on. It's just coming down to, you know, are they going to make this open field tackle in the flat, or are they going to, you know, miss that tackle and the guy's going to get 10 yards. So that's what it comes down to. And I think that it's kind of tired. It's kind of stale. I give credit where credit is due, but I don't see this, like, defense ever being like a top 10 unit with this scheme. That's my point.
Well, yeah, I said it the last episode. It's the modern NFL is players over plays, right? You have to scheme to get the player in the right position and get him the ball in the right position. And it just seems like we're plays over players, you know, like that's here's our scheme. Run this, keep running our scheme over and over again. And when you defensively, when you run into like an Andy Reid, who's a genius offensively, and he figures out who our worst pass coverage guy is and who he's covering. Okay, send him deep every time. Whoever Abrams is covering, just send him deep every time, and we'll just throw the ball deep. And you know, that's what happened against the Chiefs the first time, and it was ugly, man. It was like 9 for 9. He gave up nine catches on 9 targets for like 120 something yards and 2 touchdowns. A backup, like a third string running back, caught a deep pass on him. It's like, it's all scheme, man.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. You would see, I would say, a more creative coordinator not put Abram in those situations, like you're saying. Okay, not put Denzel Perryman in some of the situations that he's been in coverage, sometimes like solo man-to-man on a tight end across the middle, getting, you know, posterized or whatever. Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I understand what RJ's saying, though. Tough to change directions of this steamboat, you know, where at this point in the season, what Gus Bradley took over and what he's accomplished definitely gets credit for it. I still don't think it's good enough now at this point in the NFL to like consistently hang your hat on that.
No, I agree.
High basement, low ceiling type of defense, right? Like it's not going to be a Paul Gunther where everyone's just kind of pointing at each other in the end zone. Were you supposed to have him? No, me, you.
The Spider-Man meme.
Yeah, it's not going to be that. You brought up Jonathan Abram. The only good thing about Jonathan Abram getting shoulder surgery and being out for the season, I don't have to hear Soto bitching about his coverage every single show, because he was really good in the run defense, right? Second most tackles on the team. How big of a knock is losing Jonathan Abram to this defense? How big of a hit is that?
I definitely think that there's some element of like attitude and intensity that now Perryman and Abram being out of the lineup, we're going to see who on that second level is going to bring that. Hobbs as well, missing, like those guys bring the juice, right? So hopefully whoever comes in, I think I'm leaning towards Teamer being that guy, being his backup. Hopefully he brings the juice as well. You know, he's like kind of famous on Twitter for getting into like starting these like fights during the Rams practice. Everyone was like, oh, that was Roderick Teamer. The reason why the Rams practice got canceled or whatever is because he was like fighting people. So hopefully he brings like just the fire intensity within the rules and doesn't get penalized, obviously, but just brings that intensity there. But you can't get really much worse than Abram was in coverage, right? Over like the last like 4 or 5 weeks. So it can't be much worse, you know. Obviously, Abram against the run, fantastic. And he was probably having his best game against the run. Maybe his best game of his career against the run against Cleveland before he got hurt, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, he saw that like offensive lineman flash, and he's like, okay, I know what this is. I'm getting it. Couple tackles for loss. Yeah, and Teamer, man, he got into a fight at a Cowboys game, right? Is he one that got into a fight against the Cowboys?
I think he might have, yeah.
Jeez. He's a scrapper. Man,
if there was like some sort of like souvenir that you can buy at the Raiders gift shop of Teamer just like picking fights with other players, like if they made an NFT of Teamer just like picking fights with Rams, like Rams practice dudes, like it's a joint practice so you both get better and he's just trying to like fuck dudes up, I'd buy it. That's the souvenir I want. You know what I mean? Not a game ball signed, right? You know, I don't want like Derek Carr's game jersey. Like give me like the blood on the tape of the knuckles from Teamer like punching some random guard. You know what I mean? I want that hanging up in my wall. Jesus, maybe I'm old fashioned. What can I say? I'm a sick fuck. What do you want? So we got the Broncos coming up. Beat up at quarterback, right? Drew Lock. Nothing can turn a defense around like having Drew Lock throwing passes at you. But it is our defense, like you just mentioned, bunch of injuries. Basically all our best tacklers are all injured. What do you see this offense doing to our defense on Sunday?
Like you're saying, it's about tackling. Javonte Williams, one of the toughest tackles in football right now. He's having stellar year. He just keeps on getting better almost every week. You're going to see something from him that's really impressive. I think right now he's like one of the top rated running backs in football. You know, obviously Jonathan Taylor, he's like far away, you know, past everyone else, but like the, that next tier, Javonte Williams definitely deserves to be in that. You got to bring it. You got to tackle as a team against this guy. He's not going to just go down with one, you know, with one tackler every time. So I'm a little worried because Perryman, that's our best guy when it comes to that. Abram, that was our second best guy. Hobbs, he was really good against the run. You know, we got to see if Perryman is able to make it back. Hopefully Hobbs gets back in the lineup because you got to bring it. And those guys are good tacklers at least. So that's going to really be one of the keys to the game. Has Drew Lock played this last week? I haven't watched that tape, so I'll reserve my judgment on Drew Lock and what they do in the passing game, though. We'll see.
What do you equate our complete lack of getting interceptions to? I mean, like I was looking up like Jonathan Abram's contributions, like all these tackles, and he's like, oh, he leads the team in interceptions with one. He's tied with like four other dudes. It's like, is it? And like there were certain games where it's like, which game was it? We got two interceptions where it literally had to bounce off of Casey Hayward's arms into another DB for us to finally get an interception. Is that scheme? Is that a Gus Bradley problem? Is that young DB's problem? Is it just the style of play, bad luck? Like, what do you think it is?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's a scheme thing. It's, you know, the Raiders, like I'm being a dead horse here. They run so much cover three, and not just cover three, the same exact cover three. Everyone's in the same exact spot, you know, that I don't think that quarterbacks really are feeling the need to like test tight windows and, you know, try things when so much of the game plan is already predicated. Like the pre-snap look, cover three confirms we already know where we're going now with the football, that quarterbacks aren't having to put the ball in harm's way. And I also don't think that Gus Bradley cares. He's not. He wants the guys to drop to their spot, break on the ball, and just make force teams to put together like 10, 12 play drives against you. His thing is bend, don't break. It's not let's try to make splash plays. He's not that style of defensive coordinator. So I don't think that that's like necessarily the focus, the emphasis, like jumping in front of things. He just wants to play safe, stay on top of everything, rally and tackle. That's not a style of defense that gets interceptions.
We also haven't been good catching the ball either. I mean, we've had a couple of guys drop balls a lot. I mean, that Trevon Merrick dropped interception at the end of the Washington football team game. That was the game sealer right there. That was tough. And it was right in his hands too. So that's I've counted quite a few that they just drop, straight up drops.
Yeah, I mean, they're look, if you're on defense, that means that you probably struggle catching the football, okay? you get paid more to catch the football, right? You know, everyone wants to be a wide receiver. You usually get demoted, okay? Like the guys who play wide receiver wanted to play in the NBA and they couldn't play in the NBA, so they play wide receiver. The guys who play corner wanted to be wide receiver. They couldn't be a wide receiver, so they had to play corner. Okay. Like there's a reason why you can't, you know, you see defenders drop passes. Obviously some players, some defenses just have some guys that seem to be a lot better at snaring, you know, catching passes and stuff like that. Like looking at Trayvon Diggs, but also, if you like actually go through the tape, Trayvon Diggs also gives up tons of catches and touchdowns.
Yeah.
So it's a boom or bust. And Gus Bradley is not about boom or bust. He's about safe, 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 safe. Make them be perfect against you. Not about, you know, let's try to make a splash play here.
Kickers like wanted to be captain of the Dungeons and Dragons fan club, but they couldn't, so they had to become NFL kickers. It's like constant trickle down effect. You know what I mean? NBA players, wide receiver, you're a DB. You eventually you get to kickers at some point down the line.
Don't knock D&D, baby.
It's like a reverse evolution, like the evolutionary thing you see with like, you know, the monkey gets taller. It's like that opposite. Like everyone just kind of trickles down, but they always find a home, which is important.
One of my buddies was like really into that kind of stuff. I don't know what it was, but they were like playing some like fantasy card type.
Was
game
his name
or whatever.
John Roto?
No, it wasn't me. No? Okay. It was a good friend of mine. I'm gonna say
not you, but a friend you knew, a guy that you knew.
What? His name is Tim. His name is Tim Wells. Tim, love you, buddy, if you're listening.
The most made-up name I've ever heard.
His name is Tim Wells. I'll freaking show you on my IG. Anyway.
His name was Joey Jr. Shebadoo.
Joey Josephus. No, so he had a bunch of guys over like to watch the Super Bowl. And I'm like, all right, cool. I went over there. And it's like these guys are playing all this freaking crazy card game. And they had some smoking hot chicks with them. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? This has changed since I was in high school.
They were hired? I don't know.
I mean, they had money.
The question of the day.
I did not see that going that way, by the way, Juan. I didn't expect you to say that.
I didn't expect it either. I walked up and I was like, God damn. These guys are doing well for themselves.
I went to this Dungeons and Dragons club and this orgy popped off. It was crazy. I was like, I was here for a card game and this gangbang started. It was like craziest thing ever happened. Bro. Yeah. That's a Pornhub link I've never clicked, that's for sure. So our question of the day, BD, has been, who's been the most disappointing player for you this season on the Raiders? Because there's some guys that have been bad and stayed bad. There's some guys we had huge high hopes for that did like kind of fell off. There's guys we had very lit, like, you know, just thought average expectations for them and they completely sucked. I mean, it could be any of those ranges, right? It doesn't have to be a surprise number. It can be, you know, like Soda brought up Darren Waller. We thought he was going to have another just all pro season. And between injuries and just not having great season, he hasn't really had. Is there one guy on this roster where you're like, damn, man, like this was not what I thought was going to happen?
Yeah, Josh Jacobs for me, like by a mile. Like yeah. We have not seen Josh Jacobs improve since his rookie year. In fact, we've seen him take steps back. Like he was such a great zone runner his rookie year. Obviously, they dismantled the offensive line. That doesn't help him out, right? He doesn't trust these guys. He, you know, just the discipline, the efficiency that he, you know, some of his footwork, some of the things that he's doing with his eyes can stand to improve. And we just haven't seen that him take those steps. So concerned about him. Hopefully, you know, as long as he's a Raider, we continue to see him improve. But he is not scratching his potential. He could play a lot better than he is. He's also hurt a lot, too. And then on the defense, I'll say Yannick Ngakoue is disappointing to me. I'm diving into his tape. I'm watching him very closely recently, especially after giving up contain and allowing Nick Mullins, okay, to almost beat you, okay? Yeah. Inexcusable on a 4th-and-5 for that to happen. Watching his tape, I'm seeing him on the ground a lot. I could put together literally like a 15-minute montage of him just on the ground. I showed my dad. My dad was flabbergasted just now. I was like showing him all these clips I have saved on my phone. People are saying that I'm being hard on him because he has 9 sacks. I think sometimes they see the sacks and they go, oh, he's having a great year. I think that he's playing with the least effort he has ever played with in his career. This is coming from a guy I watched all 4 years of his career leading up to being with the Raiders. He has never played with this poor of effort and he's never been on the ground as much as he is. So I am disappointed with Yannick Ngakoue right now.
He's got 25 tackles or something like that. He plays a lot of snaps for him. That little tackles, he's just not playing the run very much.
I mean, he was like the one save, and you're 100% right, BD, but I would say like the one argument was like he was signed exclusively to get the quarterback. Like that's right. Like, okay, we want all our defensive ends to be able to be 5-tool players and do a lot of things, but like so we knew what we were getting with him though, right?
Here's my question then. If he signed and they were like, look, your job is just to rush the passer, why did he put on 15 pounds of muscle? Right, like that was the whole thing.
Vegas, he now he's gonna have his shirt off more.
You
know,
just
wants
to
yeah. Out there, baby. It's impossible to argue with this guy because he's gonna come.
No, I'm not saying you're. No.
I'm confused about that decision that he made. I don't know if that's affecting his wind or his conditioning level, but he has played with so much better effort throughout his career than he is playing with right now. I also think he's playing a lot more snaps than he's used to. And Juan's bringing up a great point for. To have played as much snaps as he had, to start every single game, basically, I think there was one game that he missed, right? Yeah. To have only 15 solo tackles when you're the starting defensive end, okay, and 9 of those are sacks, okay? Like, come on.
He's not tackling the running back at all.
I think there's a little bit of an effort concern, and if he just needs to have his snaps cut down a little bit so he can stay fresh, Malcolm Kuntz is waiting in the wings. Let's see what we got. We only have, you know, what, 3 more games here to see what Malcolm Kuntz has. Get some tape about eval on him to see what he's got in the tank. Put Malcolm Kuntz in if Yannick Ngakoue is struggling to contain or to set the edge or to stay on his feet or, you know, some of these things that I'm seeing are very concerning on his tape.
Yeah.
Look at Divine Diablo. When he finally got a chance to get in there, he pulled the Tom Brady. He's like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to get back out of here again. I better ball out. And he's been killing it.
We got rotational guys to give him a break. If that's truly the problem, right? If it's just a snap count, like there's cheaper guys that can do it. But I'm with you 100% on Josh Jacobs. Like I've been saying since the middle of last season, like I hope we trade him next season. He's a Raider. Like he's had some good games for us. He's won us a game or two, right? But Because he went to the Pro Bowl, he's going to be owed like $10 million when his extension comes up. It's like,
hell no, man.
And I did the math. Like, for people who are saying, like, well, the offensive line's playing poor. It's like, okay, then why does Peyton Barber always have more yards per carry than Josh Jacobs, right? Like, I did this like third grade yesterday. Josh Jacobs, first round draft pick. He's missed 10 games in less than three seasons with injury, making $3.25 million. And on Monday he had 15 carries for 52 yards, 3.5 yards per carry, right? Peyton Barber, undrafted free agent. He's only missed one game in his entire 6-year career. He makes $850,000. He had five rushes for 35 yards, 6.8 yards per carry. I mean, when you're getting better production from an undrafted free agent who's making less than a mil, it's just like, what else do you need? And you can't even say Peyton Barber is just awesome. Devontae Booker played better than Josh Jacobs did last season in yards per carry. He had like 0.7 better yards per carry.
A whole yard,
almost a whole yard than Josh Jacobs. It's like.
So here's the difference, okay? And you just hit it on the head. An undrafted rookie free agent, you have to be really good at what you do. You're not going to get any chances just off of what, right? A first-round draft pick like Josh Jacobs, even if he has like struggles and the Raiders move on from him, another team is going to be ready to like see if he can be their starter, you know, just like that. Guys like Booker, okay, now Barber on the Raiders, these are guys who have had to like really up their skill level just to even have a shot, you know, and they're never going to be starters at the beginning of the year, but they seem to always be starters towards the end, or, you know, or like slowly make, you know, work their way into the lineup is because of skill level. Sure, Josh Jacobs has, you know, made more talent than those guys, but their skill level is what's winning that, you know, these reps and getting, you know, being able to do certain things to just, you know, grind out those tough yards, or if it's just, you know, taking 4 yards instead of, you know, losing two, you know, stuff like that. The mental side of it, I think, is in progress for Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, it's so frustrating when, like, your third string running back, Jalen Richard, is making $3.5 million more than your starter, and you've paid Kenyon Drake $11 million for 2 years. And Peyton freaking Barber is the dude getting the best yards per carry. You're like, we had this like super expensive running back room. Our third string running back was making more than our first rounder.
And it has our only 100-yard game of the season.
And then Peyton Barber comes strolling in off the scrap heap and just like, yeah, I got this. I could run no problem. I'll provide the spark. You're like, man, what are we? I think that's the most Raiders thing ever, right?
He
like,
was this, big
like,
in the second over, half, man.
Overspending on positions we don't need when there's 20 Peyton Barbers out there.
Peyton Barber was big in the second half, man. He made that clock run. He was getting first downs and he was letting that clock run. He was making that clock go. So he was he a lot of big contributions for him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, good thing that we have Peyton Barber. I agree. Just like from a salary cap perspective, it seems very skewed for the production. But that's why. I mean, that's a Gruden thing. All these backs paying all these backs. That's a Gruden thing. You know, I fully expect whoever comes in next to overhaul that aspect of the roster management.
We would hope.
Yeah, just hoping. Yeah, hopefully that guy just has like a calculator. You know what I mean? Just like a really basic calculator. It's like, oh, I can get this for that. Thank you. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at BDWilliams18, contributor at SB Nation, Silverback Pride, and the co-host of the Tape Don't Lie podcast. BD, big deal. Williams, here again. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, BD.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. Go Raiders.
Thanks, man. Go Raiders.
Thank you, BD. You're the man. I highly recommend you take out the Tape Don't Lie show on YouTube. We'll tag him down there. One of the best tape YouTube channels on the Raiders that you'll find. Awesome. And there's a lot of good ones out there too. I don't want to name all of them because I'll leave some out, but Tape Don't Lie guys are legit. BD does the offense or does the defense. Marcus does the offense. It's great back and forth. All right. We got the Broncos coming up on Sunday. And the good thing is when the Raiders are floundering, there's two things that will cure those ails normally for us. It's playing the Browns. I think Derek Carr is like 5-1 against the Browns or something. 4-1 against the Browns.
Crazy.
And playing the Broncos. And it's even better when Teddy Bridgewater is injured, Soto. This Raiders team isn't in a position to like laugh at anybody or overlook anything. But the stars are kind of aligning for us to pick up a couple of wins here late with, you know, COVID ravaging the Browns, Teddy Bridgewater out for the Broncos. This might be a chance for, like, as ravaged as we are injury wise, we're not that much worse than the teams we've been facing.
Yeah. Right now it's getting a little bit more even though, I mean, we keep getting a lot of injuries and COVID cases. You know, when people are missing players and starters, it's like, hey man, welcome to the club. You know, we've been dealing with this all year. I am a little bit concerned about our two top tacklers being out because
you think
our game plan. Look, Nick Mullins and Drew Lock, not a lot of difference there, man. Not a lot of difference. Actually, I think Nick Mullins is a lot more efficient quarterback. He doesn't turn the ball over as much as Drew Lock.
I was just gonna say, I think with Nick Mullins, he's like be a third string quarterback and protect the ball and just.
He made some throws when he had to, right? That last drive, he did.
Drew Lock, he's not afraid to be like, no, I can prove that I'm the guy. Watch me prove that this is my spot and I can do this. Like,
yeah,
I think we'll get a couple picks.
What was his name? La Fama Blanca in Eastbound and Down. He's that guy. What was his name in the HBO series Eastbound and Down, where he's like, he totally sucks, but he still wants to go out there and try to pitch. That's Drew Lock. Like, I'll prove it to you. Okay, what happened? 5 interceptions. Yeah.
That would be nice.
But I never gave up.
That would be glorious if that's what we got of Drew Lock.
So our game plan moving forward is very similar to that of the Browns. We don't really have to worry about Drew Lock whipping the ball over the field. We have to worry about that running game. Mm-hmm. Their rushing attack is top 10 in the league, man. They're,
124 yards per carry or per game, excuse me. 10th in the league. Really good.
And they're just getting better, man. The last five games. Their last five games. Let's take a look, okay? Yep. Cincinnati, 34 carries for 133 yards. Against Detroit, 39 carries, 184. I put 1,844. It's actually 100.
Hell of a game.
It's a hell of a game.
This is how many yards they had that the Broncos had.
Broncos had rushing. Right. Yes. Okay. Kansas City, 31 rushes, 154 yards. Chargers, 33 rushes, 147 yards, 2 touchdowns. Philadelphia, 18 rushes, 96 yards. Which one is not like the others? The thing what happened is the Philadelphia game is the only game they scored early, and that was the only game that was a blowout.
Yeah,
they forced them to throw the ball a la what we did against the Broncos the first time we played.
Yep.
Now, the one thing that you have to take a look at too is in the Philadelphia game, they didn't do it by throwing the ball over the field. Philadelphia rushed the ball 39 times for 216 yards in that game. So it's not – I'm not saying we have to run for 200 yards. We do have to get something from the run game against these guys because we have to keep that clock running. If we don't do it, they're definitely going to do it because that's their game plan now is rush the ball. They have two good running backs, and that's what they want to do. That's their game plan their last five games is just rush the ball, rush the ball, rush the ball.
Yeah. And also because the Broncos have the best pass defense I think we'll play all season. They give up 213 yards per game passing. Like, their passing defense is – elite. Not that we give up on it, right? Not that we can't pass against them, but it's probably the best pass defense we've played all season.
Probably, yeah, numbers-wise, for sure. One thing that we have to really keep in mind is our first quarter. We have to get off to a good start. We have to make sure that we try to disrupt their game plan. If we let them go through their game plan, it's going to be very difficult for us because they're just going to push the ball down the field and run and run and run and run and run and wear us down towards the end of the game. And that's what you saw towards the end of the game against the Browns, where we got worn down a little bit and gave up some more runs. And we sacked up in the last series. But we got to make sure we start quick on these guys, man. We can't be afraid to throw the ball against these guys because we got to put up points. Points are at a premium against these guys because their defense against what we do the best is really good. And what they do the best, we're not so good at defending.
Thank God that they're in quarterback purgatory over there in Denver. Because between their run game, between their defense, their weapons on their front seven, their weapons on offense. Their weapons on offense are legit. It's just they just can't get a decent signal caller. And that's saving this AFC West from just being the seventh circle of hell. Like, imagine if they had a top 15 quarterback. right? And like the quarterbacks that we'd have to play in the AFC.
Dude, if they had Jimmy Garoppolo, like a Jimmy G on their team, they would be like a 10-win team right now. They would have, yeah, they would be 10-4 right now.
If they had Derek Carr, they'd be, oh God, right now. They'd be 11-3, yeah, for sure. They'd be insane. Just, yeah, they just can't.
Hell, if they had Baker Mayfield, like, I like this
defense. Let's not go crazy.
No, I like this defense better than I like the Browns defense. Mm-hmm. That's the way they play. It's not going to be as easy as we think, especially if we come out with that bullshit like we have a couple of the games where we're like, oh, well, you know, 3-and-out, or, you know, we're moving the ball and we got the ball in the red zone, but, oh, we got a field goal. Like, we got to do what Carr did, you know, in the first drive. And I don't know why we're not doing that more with Edwards. He's a great jump baller. I mean, I said it from the time that he was in camp last year to you guys, and when we started doing this show. He's a jump ball guy. He has big, strong hands. You saw it against the Broncos last year with his touchdown catch that he had, and also with his touchdown catch against the Browns last week. He's got big, strong hands. He doesn't mind going up and catching the ball.
Yeah, I mean, he's matchup dependent, right? Because he's like not that fast. He's not a great route runner. Like, he doesn't like get separation with his feet well. But if he's going up against like a 5'9", like 180-pound corner, just body his ass. Just hip check him out of the way, go high point. Like, that's what he's good at, right? Is like those type of things.
Here's the thing, though. It's not that he's not fast. I think it was week 4 or 5. He was like one of the top 3 fastest ball carriers in the league that week with like 21.5 miles per hour. So he's fast. It's just, you said his route running isn't that great.
His route running is just kind of like,
because he was a jump ball. I mean, like I said, he was a jump ball guy.
When you're that big and you're that tall and you're that strong, right? Like there's a reason why, like, Hunter Renfrow can do that. He's got a body type to just be quick. He's low to the floor, short legs, right?
And he's had to work on it more. He's not a jump ball guy.
He's never been able to lean on his just otherworldly athleticism. He's like, I better make sure my hands are insane and I got to work on my route running. Whereas I feel like Bryan Edwards was just kind of like, I'm just going to be bigger than the other dudes I play in college.
I'm just going to be big.
Yeah. It's going to be a bunch of meat they can't handle. Hey, so we don't have an injured quarterback, knock on wood, but we've got a lot of injuries everywhere else. Again, we're recording this Wednesday night, so we only have up to Wednesday's injury report. Denzel Perryman's ankle, Darren Waller, whatever is going on with Darren. Is it his knee? Is it his back? They still haven't told us like exactly what's been injured. Non-participants on Wednesday. Josh Jacobs sick, not COVID, but sick. Zay Jones's toe is an issue. Obviously, we know about Jonathan Abram out for this season. Brandon Faison on the COVID list, and Jonathan Hankins' back injury. All these guys didn't participate on Wednesday. Divine Diablo and Foster Moreau and Brandon Parker had limited in practice, so those guys should all play. But a lot of guys, you know, this late in the season, especially with all the injuries we've already had, all the guys that have been off the team for all the different reasons that have happened. Like, we had depth this year. Like, we weren't deep at every position, but we had depth basically everywhere but O-line. And we needed it. Even then, we're on like our, you know, we're signing Will Compton of nowhere because we have all our linebackers hurt. Like, we didn't mention Peyton Barber is getting significant carries, even though we had 3 multi-million dollar running backs paid ahead of him, right? Like, we're Zay Jones is playing almost every snap at wide receiver because of all the wide receivers that we remember when we had, like, John Brown, Willie Snead. We had all these wide receivers. Like, Zay's never going to see the field. Basically a starter now.
Nope. He's seeing the field a lot.
Man, did the injury bug just come in and just like ravage this team. All right. Ready to do some what up windbags?
Oh, you know I am.
Let's do it. Matthew, during the press conference, Carr was asked about his leg injury during the game when he got sacked. He said it was the same one that he had broke, and it pops like it did when he broke it, but the pain only lasts a couple of minutes. So every time that happens, he's going to panic and drop the ball.
Pretty much. Mark.
Well, it's twice now that he's been injured. Like, not injured, but like he got hit and then, you know, play stops. He can't play the next play. That thing's only happened twice this season. Steelers didn't fumble. And then against the Browns on Monday. So if it only happens once a season where he like loses a fumble with an injury that bad, it's like, ugh, I mean, he's going to fumble anyway, right? What's that, like, one more?
what we talked about early in the year, when the year started, when you said, oh, yeah, he's been really focusing on not fumbling. I'm like, dude, you're telling me he hasn't focused the other years on not fumbling? Like, that's just who he is. He's going to fumble the ball.
Yeah. It's like, make peace with it, right?
Yeah, it's going to happen.
You love Derek or hate Derek, it's part of what you get when he's on there. He's going to fumble. Does he just have like the smallest hands in the world? Does he just?
It was a knock on him coming out of college. His hands were small.
He's generally not like that loose with the ball. Like we see him, like when he gets tackled, he like doubles up. Like he is making an effort to do that, but he's still like the weakest grip. What were those like bull riding workout things, gadgets you have where you just like squeeze it? You know, had like the handles. Get him that for Christmas. Please, if anyone who knows Derek Carr, listen, like get him some
there's
of those
ones
for Christmas.
Now, like the claw ones, where like it's like individual fingers, like has the springs on them.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Garrison, 7 dropped passes was a huge part of the reason why Carr wasn't as good as the game went on. Well, I think it's just the reason why the offense struggled, right? You can't, you know, it's and it wasn't one specific receiver with a ton of drops. You know, it wasn't you know, bad weather. Like one of the big benefits that the game was on Monday was because Saturday it was raining. So at least we had a dry weather game.
It was raining hard over there too.
For a December Cleveland game.
Great weather. I mean,
no rain and 40 degrees. Pff, you're not going to get
cold,
better than
but
that.
It wasn't. Yeah.
You're not going to get better than that weather. For sure. Steven Richardson, our fan base is delusional. We are a 500 team and everyone wants to blow it up. It makes no sense. Again, it's all bigger perspective, right? If we were the Bucks or the Chiefs or a team that's been, you know, went to the Super Bowl and in the playoffs all the time and we're 500, then it's like, oh shit, we got to blow this stuff up, right? This is a Raiders team that's gone to the playoffs once in 20 years. This is a team where it's, let's be honest, like incremental improvements in certain areas is what's important. It's kind of like what we talked about with BD, where I've been caught up in the emotional whirlwind as much as the next guy, where it's like, man, we have such high expectations and like this play blows up and that player sucked or this coach did something stupid. And you're like, let's start over, start this over. But I think a time to step back and say, all right, why are we 7-7? What got us to 7-7? And you know, and it's used all the time as like, stop using it as an excuse, but it validly happened. Like, how much can you judge every player, every coach, and every game of this season with all the shit it's been through, right? Like the coach, like the players, you say, screw you, you just keep playing, right? That's the mentality they should have. But with us from the outside looking in, can we grade Greg Olsen 100% as offensive coordinator when he's been basically just like John Gruden's secretary since he's been here, because he wasn't like really doing anything? Derek Carr was basically just the puppet, right? Like John Gruden just shoved his hand up his ass and just like, you just do exactly what I tell you to. And now it's like, okay, you control the offense. I mean, it's not working, so it's clearly not great.
Well, you have to ask yourself again.
It's a hard season. It's a hard season to give like a good, like an easy report card to. It's a weird one.
It's really tough because it's not just about the what. Like, what was your record? It's why was your record that way? Okay, our offense, like BD said, our offense was very predictable and stagnant. Okay, why was that? I see what he sees. Our game plan does not change offensively to what the defense is allowing us or to what the defense is stopping with us. It's just the same shit over and over again. Very similar to our defense. That is a coaching issue. Olsen's been in the league long enough. Carr has been in the league long enough to know what to do and how to adjust and to make adjustments mid-game. You know, if that's one of the reasons why I don't like the whole good little soldier narrative when it comes to Carr, is like, you're the one out there. You got to speak up. And maybe he's doing it, maybe he's not. But from what I see, I don't really see a lot of that, a lot of change happening when things aren't going well offensively. Also, you have to take a look at a couple things why we're, you know, 7-7 is this the best this team is going to be the way it's constructed?
Mm-hmm.
We did lose players, but we also had a couple of players play off completely off of their ass that haven't played this way before.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to account for injuries, because injuries are going to happen any year, no matter what. And that's one thing is, what are you going to be happy with a 7-7 season? I don't know. You have to take a look at each individual guy, how they played, how the team is constructed, and what's the ceiling for this team right now.
I think the coaching staff is going to get blown up, but But I said a million times in the show, like, the roster shouldn't be blown up because the guys we want to keep are young, generally, and cheap. And those are the, when you do start a roster over, those are the guys you want. You want the guys on rookie contracts or first contracts or like young guys that are only getting better, not expensive guys that are a little past their prime, but they can still deliver for you now. We don't have anyone like that, really. So it's,
can we put Littleton on that Bobby Bonilla plan where we just pay him a little bit a year for like 20 years?
Can we get him like catfished and like sent to jail? God, nothing big, dude. Just like a 6 month stint.
Damn,
you know, something like he that.
Is so bad.
Can we get him just like,
Him and Quiet, the both of those guys, they make a lot of money.
I want to get Corey Littleton rolled for like erecting a nativity scene on city property, like just enough where the team's like, whoa, we can't have any lawbreakers on this team.
This again.
No. We're
releasing you with cause.
You have to go. Like, we hope you can come back, but this is unacceptable.
What if Mark Davis does it like Al did with the projector? When he fired Lane Kiffin, he's like, this is the first reason why I'm firing his ass, with cause. Every time it was with cause, I have to pay your ass.
Yeah. Do you want to read the last one, Soto?
Sure. This game looked like Soto's ex-girlfriend, .. Ugly. Throw up emoji. First off, Soto bangs dimes, bro. So don't trip. Don't even worry about what I'd be getting.
Okay.
I am very comfortable with the chicks that I've bagged. So I'm
good. Sounds airtight to me, Soto. Sounds airtight.
Like your butthole. Not unlike your butthole.
It's not that kind of windbag. You know what I'm saying?
Hey.
And with that really terrible way to end a show, knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Ottawa Windbags. It's awesome that you do that. We really appreciate it. Make sure you check us out on social media at the Ottawa Windbags on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. You know where to go. And also make sure you check out our YouTube channel as well. A lot of big things going on there that we think you're going to love. Until next time, later.